Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Previously on the VFN Radio program.
I was at the hardware store.
Wait a second.
Wait. What?
Back up. Don't even go any further. What was that?
Say that again.
You were where?
You were what? You were lost?
What?
I was searching hardware on Amazon.
Exactly.
No, I was. I actually was at the hardware store. And
were you lost? Looking for the barber?
This has to be interesting. He wanted excitement, right?
Yeah. Well, you know.
This has to be interesting.
Well, you know, it was. They have like tools and things there. And stuff. And I'm walking around looking at, they have like aisles and numbers and, you know, things that I've never been to. Anyway, I just stand there somewhere in an aisle and call the store. Hey, I'm looking for screws. Where are you? Hello. Anybody here? And yes. I'm having to find, actually, Pat and I went to the store sometime back, this hardware store. I needed a drill. I got to have a drill. And we come out, and he comes out, and he's the one that bought a drill.
I didn't get a drill.
And if you don't have a teenage son, you don't understand, but you will one day. Just plan in your future to get new tools.
Yeah, right.
And, that old thing? He's like, yes, that old thing. And so we walked out, and he came out with a real nice tool, it's drill and all that. But I realized later on, really? When I had to, I mean, that's a shame. There was a day that you actually screwed a screw in
with your hand.
you know, labor.
I pondered that before this, and I thought, I'm going to go get that drill. And I didn't know. There's two things that Pat introduced to me. Well, other things we're not going to talk about. But yeah,
this is totally a family program.
It's frozen. Oh, well, frozen food. I had no idea that you could actually, everything's frozen.
Frozen. Everything.
It don't matter what it is. I mean, I think his Bible comes out of the freezer.
Anything, just
before he abides
in
the morning, I think his Bible comes out of the freezer and puts it in the microwave.
It's defrosting.
I warm it up.
And the other thing was that everything, no matter what it is, if it runs on electricity, it also will run on a battery. I'm serious. Prior to God bringing us together, that when we were in the plastic fabrication business, he was a master fabricator, and I hired him to come work for me, and he organized all the inventory.
Scrap.
Yeah, until you had your own company. And I just didn't know it. And you have these drills, and you put a battery pack on. I mean, today they're commonplace, but back then, it was amazing. I mean, the battery pack was like a 15-pound battery. You know, you put a backpack or something going around. No, but it was amazing. So you can get a battery for everything. Mm. But there's nothing like taking a cord and plugging it into a receptacle to know that you don't have to go, I can't believe this battery's not charged up.
Yeah, right.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, he has not been introduced to the extension cord yet. So everything's on batteries. I mean, as a matter of fact, you should have a battery car. You and President Obama, you know, he has a new car industry now, runs on what are the batteries? Ever-Ready's or something? The Ever-Ready car?
I don't know, but, you know, he's very, I think that'll fit you, Pat.
I can see him stuck on the road somewhere. Oh, this battery wasn't charged up.
That'd be my luck.
How does that limousine move? That's what I want to know with that battery.
I don't know.
Need a super duper battery for that.
He's so far back from the motor, he probably can't even hear it run. So he's probably thinking about it.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
Pat, did you hear about the father that went on this ride with his daughter? It was so hilarious.
A ride?
Yeah, it was a ride at like the fairgrounds. Oh, my goodness. He is sitting in this thing, and you can see this on the VFN TV block. go to VFNTV.com and click on it. But he is sitting here, and he's, you know, he's about here. He's sitting here, and he's all happy. He's sitting in his seat and watching right now. You can see this thing, and his daughter's just so happy and giddy and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, this puppy starts. Oh my goodness! He looks so concerned. His face. What? You gotta see this. Oh my gosh. It is so funny. Oh my goodness.
Oh, well, wow. Was he in pain?
Oh, no, he wasn't in pain. He was just acting like we would like on that ride.
That'd be like me.
Oh my goodness. It was so funny. You can see that on the VFN TV blog where this father is just regretting the day while his daughter's just enjoying everything that's being said. I mean, that's going on in the ride. She's like, woo! You know, he's just like, oh, my life is over as I know it, you know? So I just don't want you to miss that. You need to laugh today. That is definitely a laugh for you. You can get that on VFN. It's important to laugh. Laughter's like good medicine. I mean, you got to laugh every now and then.
Amen.
And if you can't laugh about that, get on the ride yourself and have somebody shoot the video. And you can
laugh at yourself.
Yeah. It reminds me when I was jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh, I'm glad that whoever edited the video, it was probably Chris edited the video, but he edited the part of me moving from the center of the plane to the open door of the plane.
Yeah. You got to put that on the blog. That'd be funny.
I can't find that. I can't find that.
I've got it.
Do you really?
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay. Let's just move on from this. It's like, no, there's the doors open. You know, he's like, move over closer to the door. And the whole plane's only like 2 foot wide. You know, I'm like, closer. I'm there already. And there's something about, maybe we can put this video, you know.
Yeah, maybe so. Good.
The edited maybe version. Maybe a good laugh. That only if we get the pictures up. And then and something about when you're, you know, on a 2 foot board, basically. The plane was so small. It was two guys wide. You know, and the door opens up. It's kind of, you're in the plane. It's kind of like, it's a plane. You know, it's a plane. Then the door opens up. It's like, it's a board in the air. You're sitting on it, you know.
Yeah, like a tin can.
Yeah. And so then he says to me, you know, a slide over. So the door's real loud because I'm like, slide over. And I said, give me a minute. And, of course, I'm strapped to him because, like, tandem jumping, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll talk more probably in the future about this dude. He's like, he had no shoes on. I went, woohoo! I'm like, oh my gosh, it's over. And so he says, slide over to the door. And of course, he just starts moving me around because I'm like touched to his chest. And it's like, stop. And we get to the door and he says, okay. And I'm holding onto the threshing the door jam of the plane. And I'm looking, and straight down off this little board that I'm standing on at 10,000 feet, there's nothing. There's nothing. There's these little microscopic broccoli things that you can see way up. You know, you could just, it was 10,000 feet. You know, I could see everything. I could see the Gulf, the Emerald Coast. I could see farmland. I could see all these different things, you know. And then, you know, he said, okay, let go. And I said, give me a minute. And it's like, man, it's like prying my fingers. Like, just, I'm going to do this. Give me a second. And then we jumped.
Yeah.
Or I was pushed. I can't remember how that worked. Because I wanted to, I was breaking mindsets. We get so many mindsets because your brain tells you at 10,000 feet, this is not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I can't imagine why.
And so while your brain is telling you, no, you got to learn to move beyond your thoughts, you know, and so many people just hear their brain say no, and they don't.
Right.
You know, when you got to charge and you got to go forward, you got to advance the kingdom, you got to do these things. Like, I wanted every mindset broken. I wanted to be able to move beyond my thoughts because, you know, we're listening yesterday to, an interview coming up we're going to have in the future soon. It was Pat Robinson was interviewing Benny and Suzanne Hinn. They're back together again in their marriage. And he was talking about, personally himself, how he had to push through this veil. Mm-hmm. You know, how it was took so much effort to push through. When you're, you know, when there's a stronghold and God's people are held captive and we're just stuck and we can't, you know, somebody's got to push through. And there's people that are willing or try to, at least, to push through. And it takes almost, the best way to compare it is, you know, when your brain tells you don't jump out of 10,000 yeah, feet, right?
Right.
And you jump and then, or you pushed. And then, and you're flying, you know, you're dropping at a rapid rate of speed, you know, 125 miles an hour, maybe. Wear earplugs. If you ever do this, wear earplugs. Because I thought, man, I will not hear again. It was just rapid noise on my ear. Mm. And there are video. I got a video. Hey, I got some video.
Yeah, right? I did.
The edited version. And so, but once, you know, you're going, you know, you're doing the little pose thing that they told you to do so you don't flip all over the place. And then once the chute opens up, that was probably the scariest point, because you're thinking these little D-rings, these little metal D-rings.
Is it going
to
hold?
Is it going to hold you? Because you're going 125 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden you just come to an immediate stop, and you personally don't have a parachute. You're strapped on to Bubba here, who has a parachute, and you don't know who packed it, you know, and all these different things. It's just like a move of faith. I mean, you just have to have faith for all that. And all of a sudden, he pulls that thing, and I'm holding my fist really tight because I'm thinking, oh, I hope this thing hits. And it just catches you, like, bam! It just catches you, and you stop, like, you know, just immediate stop, it seems like. And then you just start peacefully floating, and it just takes a long time to come down. It's just beautiful. Mm. I mean, the whole process of falling once the chute opens up, because you're just falling, is what you're doing, just falling slower, that it doesn't seem dangerous. Because it's like, oh, look at the little broccoli. That couldn't hurt me. It's like, that's the earth. that's a 400-foot tree, dude, or whatever it is. That can kill you. Yeah. But it doesn't seem that way. And but I wanted to break mindsets. So, you know, if you want to break some mindsets, that's a good way to do it. Or just step out in God, and despite what your brain is saying, when God says to do it, it seems a lot like that.
Yeah.
I remember, you remember the 747 in California? We were in the 747, the 40-foot high telephone pole.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting a little older now. I'll remember you.
Is that what it was called? I had no idea.
It was 747. Okay. It was 40-foot high.
Oh, yeah.
And it was 7 foot out. And so we had to climb this telephone pole, and we're not linemen. We're not linemen. And this, and we're talking, I guess, you know, we're talking right now about how to get past your mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they say a mind's a terrible thing to waste, but your mind will waste your destiny if you stay in your mind. There's nothing more frustrating to be out of your mind. That's like Logan said. Was this David Logan? Or his name's David Logan. He says, I'm not out of my mind. I'm out of your mind, you know.
Yeah.
It was David Hogan. David
Hogan.
Yeah, he was talking about all the things that had happened in his ministry in Mexico and all. And all of a sudden, he just stops and he goes, I'm not out of my mind. I'm out of your mind. Mm. And so to be out of your mind, and not just in generally out, but out of your mind for God, you can say, despite what I think, despite what I feel, despite what people tell me, what they think and what they feel, you know, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God says. And that's called faith, right?
That's right.
Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see.
That's right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so this thing was it was 40 foot high. This telephone pole was 40 foot high.
Yeah.
And it had a little small 2x6 at the top of it, enough to put both your feet side by side nailed to the top of it. And then 7 feet out, once you're standing on top of it, you had to climb it. It had a trapeze bar. And so it was 747. Which meant, you know, you climb up 40 feet, you stand on the top of this telephone pole, and then you jump out.
A wobbly telephone pole.
It's very wobbly. And then you jump. There's nothing, you know, you're on belay. Yeah, they have you on a rope.
Belay, yeah.
Yeah, belay. It's scary when I'm reminding you. You remember
me.
And so your own belay, which is not necessarily according to what I saw happen to a dentist, doesn't mean that much. Remember the dentist, like, bam, hits the ground. He goes, I'm all right. I'm all right.
I'm
like,
good.
You just fell 25 feet, dude. Give it a break. Anyway, so then you jump from the top of the pole when you're standing on it. You jump out to a trapeze bar, which is 7 feet out. So, you know, just like jumping from an airplane. Now, this is truly what it's like. If you live your life in the safe zone, first of all, you're boring. You're very boring. Secondly, you know, you're not doing nothing for God, because God is on, it's the cutting edge. You got to step outside what is to get to what will be. And everybody can do this who loves God. God's looking for people who trust him. And we got to bust out of all these barriers that are keeping us back, where, you know, Mormons are more faithful to their doctrine and their evangelism. Islam's more faithful to their prophet, Muhammad, than people who profess to be, you know, followers of Jesus Christ that are going out and just breaking the barriers. You know, we're going to talk about some stuff about that today, but you got to get past your mind, you know, and there's nothing worse than to be out of your mind for God, but being held captive by everybody that's in their mind, refusing to go with God. I mean, at some point you just got to say, okay, I'm moving on, you know? Yeah. And somebody said, well, I think, I said, you know, did anybody ask you what you thought? So you climb this telephone pole. Mm-hmm. And this is good comparisons, what it's like about following God, you know? And we're going to be talking about the wisdom moment in a little bit. And we're going to be talking about, you know, God's news behind the news. We're going to talk today about some very serious things that just happened in our country. But, you got to listen. This is what it's like stepping out of your mind. So you had to climb this telephone pole. So I had those little metal things, remember, on the mm-hmm. side of it, just like you're going to climb a telephone pole for alignment, I guess.
Yeah.
We didn't have the hooks in our boot or nothing like that. Like, right. Remember Colby? Colby
yeah.
did that thing.
Yeah, climb that tree.
Yeah, back when he was in shape. He's a father now, so he might not be in shape. The And so you climb this pole, and you're going up 40 feet. And at first, it's like, bump, 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 bump. And you get about 25 feet, and it's like your brain starts going.
It starts this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, a 40-foot pole is like it's like a straw in the wind.
Yeah.
It just sways back and forth and all that. And you think, well, I'm grabbing a hold of these things with my hands mm-hmm. and my feet. So you still got some sort of false sense of security.
Yeah.
And you got like a 16-year-old kid going, I got you on belay. And if I was to fall, I would have shot him up in the air. You know. Anyway, yeah. So then, you know, we're climbing up. And once you get to the very top, so imagine you're looking eye to eye with this little dinky piece of 2x6 nailed to the top of a 40-foot telephone pole. And now you're looking at it in your eyes, eye level. But you're going to have to somehow get your feet on that 2x6. Mm-hmm. And at that point, there's nothing to hold on to. And this thing is swaying back and forth. You know, if I would have never been in ministry prior to this, I would have had no grid. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's just like ministry.
Yeah, right. Stand on nothing.
Yeah, you know, fixing to die. Anyway, so then you got to be able to, now you're looking eye level with this 2x6. And you're going to climb up and put your feet, you got to let go of your hands and stand on, get your foot on this 2x6.
That was the most difficult part of that whole thing.
Yeah,
because actually standing up.
Yeah, because the whole thing's just vibrating with fear.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you're not afraid. Your body's afraid.
Yeah. Right. My mind was okay, but my body was freaking out.
Yeah, your body's just, you know, totally, because you're thinking, your brain is going at this point, you know, it's going focus, do this, do that. But your body's going, what are you doing? No. Oh my goodness.
All right, right.
You know, and so finally, the largest accomplishment was just being able to stand up. So I finally got, I'm standing up on the top of this thing, and I feel kind of somewhat better. But then I look over and see the top of this huge pine tree. I'm like, I'm not supposed to be seeing the top of this pine tree that's right beside me, close by. Mm-hmm. And in my feet, from my toes to the back of my heels, you know, they have the thing in the stadiums, you know, when you're doing football games called the wave, where you kind of just kind of move around. It was like I was standing on this thing, this 2x6, and it's like from my toes to my heels, my feet were doing waves. Kind of go back, you know, I was like, oh, my goodness. And they were just freaking out. Your flesh will freak out. You know, when you step outside of what you know and you're trusting God, your flesh will scream, even though your brain may be focused on the vision and what God's called you to do. Don't be surprised when your flesh just begins to freak out, you know. And so then you finally get to this point, and now you got to jump off this thing you were so proud you finally made it to.
Oh, right.
And you got to go seven feet. What's the big deal with that? Of course, the pole you're standing on is swaying in the wind like a piece of pine straw.
Mm-hmm.
My feet are doing the wave, and and the only way you can make it, this is a brilliant, brilliant thing to be able to learn how things work at God. The only way you can make it to that 7-foot trapeze bar is you have to give it everything you got. You got to squat down. Mm-hmm. You got to squat all the way down and just leap for everything you've got to be able to make it to the trapeze bar. You can't like, okay, I'm going to try, or I'm going to, I mean, it, you just can't make it unless you give it all you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I love that because it's a great comparison to, you know, the things of God. You know, does God reward half-hearted faith? You know, you either have it or you don't.
Right.
You know, you're either confident that God's gonna deliver you, or God's gonna do what He said He's gonna do in your life. You know, Abraham fully persuaded that God was able to do what He promised He would do, despite all that was going on in his flesh. And it was just something. Oh my goodness, jumping out of planes, you know, jumping off of 40-foot telephone poles. You know, that's an amazing thing when you get up to high, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you remember you doing it?
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Every second of it.
Oh, something, wasn't it?
Remember the big balloon thing in the water?
Yes. Oh my good. Oh, we gotta find that. That is so funny. That was good.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Yeah, right. That was me, the guy screaming earlier.
Yeah, that was good. That was totally, that's exactly what it was. Oh my goodness. We'll be right back in a moment. Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from Him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me, and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person. It's living and
active. Oh yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going. You know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the Creator of the universe. You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly,
right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear,
right?
You know, because you know we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us, and,
right?
And it's just awesome. It's just it's powerful. You know, it's life changing.
Yeah, when you abide with the Lord, like He talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in Him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org. You know, there's something about when you first get saved, that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And He introduced His Father through Himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through His awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him. We're family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother mm-hmm. comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought, Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't he know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. He said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family. Mm-hmm. And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship networks for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
Paul was killing the church. Mm-hmm. You know, his name was Saul before he was Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he was having the church stoned. He was arresting them. He was persecuting the church. And how many people would have said, well, there's no way. I mean, that person is just can't be used. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was so against the church and against the body of Christ that when he did get saved, he was on his way, on his high horse, going to, you know, Damascus to persecute Christians. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knocks him off his high horse. A big bright light shows up. It just glazes over his eyes. You know, it dries out his eyes like fish scales. It's so bright. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure he's thinking, this is probably not good. I mean, this is before bright headlights or halogen lights on any other horse.
Yeah, right.
This is like they're not the kind of light around, you know. Mm-hmm. And he falls to the ground, and this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, to speak against the body of Christ in a wrong way is to speak against Jesus. That's why we're for the whole body, mm-hmm. you know, and we're not for the spirit that says that it's against the words of God. And he said, I think I messed up, Jesus. But he was so dedicated towards bringing destruction to the church when Ananias was sent to the house to go pray for, you know, Saul. Ananias is going, hello, don't you know who this man is? Don't you understand who he is? I mean, he's been trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
He's been trying to kill church. He was on his way. He had his whole crew heading our way to kill us. Right?
Yeah.
Had a letter from the high dude in the high church. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, shut up and do what I told you to. No, he just said, go ahead. Pray for him. He shows up. There he is, just like God said. Blind. Prayed for him and said, let me show you some. The Lord's going to show you some things that you must suffer for him, and change his name from Saul to Paul.
Mm.
But see, they were scared of, I mean, listen, God, you could take the, you could believe God to win the most horrific dude in your community, the most wildest woman in your community, because they're the ones that are going to do some awesome things for God. They're not going to be this religious mindset trying to worry about what the hair looks like while they're going for God, or, you know, they're perfectly ironed clothes and stuff that we're talking about in the first part of this hour, or what Pharisees think about them. It makes me think about one of the men that Steve Hill, with Steve Hill's ministry, Together in the Harvest, had won to the Lord, and he was like an Hell's Angel type dude.
Mm.
And he was in the bathroom with other people in the commercial bathroom or whatever, and they're using the restroom. Washing their hands, or what? He's washing his hands, and some man comes in there and begins to cuss God's name. I mean, it just got all over this tough dude who loves Jesus. I mean, you're talking about my Jesus here.
Yeah.
And so he said, "You better knock it off. If you don't knock this off," he says, "I'm gonna put your head in that toilet. You don't talk about my Jesus like that."
Mm.
Yeah, he wasn't worried about anything, was he? And of course, a few moments later, Steve was saying, can't do this. Get his head out the water. You know, they're not worried about that. They're just like, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And that's how Saul was, which became Paul. Mm-hmm. He was willing to go into a city. Oh, my goodness. There's so many excuses in the body of Christ. And the most of them is about convenience, comfort, and money.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was so radical that he could walk into a city like Ephesus when there's nothing but demonic worship, you know, idol making Diana things going on, a big huge port city, big metropolis type city that we would think of today. And he began to believe God, that God could move in that city. He was the first one to show up in that city, Ephesus, and began to just explode with the truth of God. One man, one city, totally dark, he carried the light. Why? Because he was a man that just needed to be touched by God. Yeah, he was a wild man, but you understand, God used that wildness.
Mm-hmm.
He loved God, and he was willing to say, I am all yours. I mean, he was willing to suffer. I mean, when a word came out that said that, whoever has this belt is going to be bound in Rome, he's like, psh.
Yeah.
He's like, hello, you know, I have no problem suffering.
That's why
for
I'm
God.
Going.
That's why I'm going. You just got tapped into what I already know already.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go, oh my goodness, I must not go because I will get less of a paycheck. It's like, don't he's like, oh my goodness, my union might fire me. Are you serious? You know, my wife won't let me go. Oh my goodness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you doing? You know, my children, you know, they're in the 10th, 8th grade, and I just don't want to remove them from this wonderful godly education system of America to go obey the Lord and move into a city to be able to plant the church.
Right.
Are you serious? Come on. Mm. I'm not talking about just maverick, wild, and rebellious. I'm talking about so wild and so radical that you do what God says, and you're totally out of the fear of God, submitted to his love and leadership in your life. Listen, you can win cities for God. We're looking for men and women who are break loose from the religious, pharisaical, sadduceical mindsets, the religious bondage of our nation that'll say, you know what? I believe God. Everything that God says I can do and he can do through me can happen. The book of Acts is not a history book. It's an operations manual. This is how the church is supposed to act. This is what God does. I mean, either God is God or he's not.
All right.
I mean, you need to ask this question to yourself. Either God is God or he's not. And he is God. Mm-hmm. Either God can or he can't. You got to ask yourself, by the way, he can. But if you don't have the right answers to these two questions, you're going to be held captive. Mm-hmm. Listen, God loves you no matter, you know, where you are in this equation. But understand, we're looking for a few who will stand up like Paul, who will stand up like Peter, who will stand up like James, who will stand up like Billy Graham, who will stand up like Amy Semple McPherson, who will stand up like John Paul Jackson, or stand up like Steve Hill, or stand up like John Kilpatrick, stand up like Michael Brown. Who in this generation is going to stand up like a Pat Robinson, or stand up and say, you know what, all this crew has served their generation well, but where are you to serve this generation? We're looking for you. Mm-hmm. We're looking for you. You're going to have to bust out. There's a birthing process, and you can't do it alone. But listen, we're looking for you. Maybe you're called to be a part of Gideon's army. I mean, think about Gideon's army. What are the qualifications? The weakest and least likely.
That's right.
Check.
check.
The things that are not to nullify the things that are.
That's right.
Check. Think about it. The weak things of the world to shame the strong.
Check.
What does one weak man say to another weak man? Let's pray. If you don't have that let's pray mindset, you don't realize how weak you are yet.
That's all right. Absolutely.
That's so funny, you know. Pat and I look at each other and just stare. Nothing's happening over here. You got an answer coming? No. We need to pray. And God comes through. It's amazing, isn't it?
Every time.
Which confirms, check.
Check.
I mean, think about it. Like right now, as we're speaking, a former Marine, if there is a former Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine, Stephen Kalaszewski, who served two tours of duty in Iraq. He defended us. He fought for us. He laid down with his brothers his freedom to go fight for our freedom for a time in the United States Marine Corps. And now he comes back and he begins to wonder what life's about, and he cries out to God, and God meets him. You can go to the VFN Torch and hear his testimony. You know, Marine encounters God. It was a powerful, powerful Saul-like transformation as he cried out to God, and God showed up so powerfully that he had to pause for a moment and think, oh, he's real now? I feel him, and I don't know what to say.
Yeah, right.
Hello? Is that you, God? And he went through the process because he knew that I needed to get rightly related, and I needed to get connected, and I needed to be discipled. I needed to know the ways of Jesus. And then I want to be trained up and go through VFNU, and I want to have family around me because we're called to be family, and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. And he decides to join Gideon's army. And today, as we speak, today, because he responded to the call that I'm talking to you about right now, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is about to be blessed.
That's right.
Why? Because he's being the first. Mm-hmm. He's the first to carry what this generation's going to do for God. Listen, what you're seeing primarily in America is what the past generation has done, and that is so cool, and it is God. You need to honor that. Mm-hmm. But listen, there's a new wind blowing across this nation. Everything that's been before is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. And to be frank with you, a lot of people just need to let go and let God.
Right.
As Chuck Pierce said, that we're being held captive because we won't let go of what God's wanting to take control of in his church, the government of the church. And because Steve listened, because he said, yes, here I am, God, send me. I mean, he was willing to go and fight for your freedom, and now he's willing to fight for the freedom of those in Pittsburgh. He's going to plant a church in Pittsburgh to tell them about the love of God. Mm-hmm. He's already gone and spied out the land. You got to hear it. You got to hear the stories of what God's doing. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting. It's not about what religion's made it out to be. Listen, I mean, Easter is so important about what happened that day, but listen, it's more than an Easter play. Every single day of your life should be filled with great excitement and expectation and abiding with him and launching out and going into new cities. I mean, you're going to spend eternity either regretting not doing this or dreading what you did instead or celebrating gratitude, thinking, I'm so glad I did not waste one moment of that because this life is so short. Mm-hmm. You're going to have all of eternity to think about it. And nothing truly satisfies, you know it is, other than obeying God, living in God's presence. We're created for his presence. We were made to love him. And loving him is obeying him.
All right.
But he empowers us to be even to love him and to go this out. So here he is, this Marine, now he's in Gideon's army, headed to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Big old U-Haul truck, car being pulled behind it. To plant a church. Why? Because he's like Paul. He's like Paul. He said, here I am, right? Like Isaiah, right. Send me. I believe, God, that you can win Pittsburgh, that you love the people of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And you want me to tell them that you love them and you have a plan for your life and you want me to preach your kingdom to them one by one, and you want me to begin to connect and relate, and those that believe, you want me to baptize them in the three rivers mm-hmm. and disciple them. What do you believe in God for? Another car? Mm. Another raise? A bigger cable package? Mm-hmm. A third relationship? Really, come on. Think about it. Live life on the edge of obeying God. This generation needs leaders. Listen, Gideon's army's qualifications, read about Gideon. Gideon was sitting in a wine press, eking out a living because everybody, the entire nation, was under great oppression. Welcome to the future. And an angel shows up and sees him. He was hiding in the wine press because the Midianites would come in, and that name means strife, mm-hmm. would come in, and they, every time they would get something going, they would steal it and stomp on it and take their stuff and things, and people were hiding in caves and stuff. Mm-hmm. And God was about to move powerfully. I mean, it looked like it was just terrible. How could this be? How could God about to move? And Gideon is hiding. He's not in a wine press because it's a good place to work. He's there because so the Midianites won't see him working so he can get some wheat for his family to go feed them. Mm-hmm. And then God sends a messenger, and I really believe right now you're hearing me, I'm your messenger. And he looks at Gideon, the weakest and the least likely. Mm-hmm. He's hiding from the oppression. He can out 11, and he says, mighty man of valor. mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it. Who is this man?
You know? Right.
That's basically what he's saying. Is like, listen, I don't want to hear any more about this old time religion. I don't want to hear historically what happened in your generation. The question I have for you, what's going to happen in our generation?
Right.
What happened in your generation does me no good. It saves no one in this generation. Who's going to rise up? Who's going to be the Gideon in this generation? Who's going to obey the plans of God? Who's going to say, I know what you did, and I know it worked in your generation, but now more people are leaving God than coming to him. Everything's upside down in the church. Right. There's great stress and oppression. Gross darkness is covering the face of the earth. And you're eking out 11. And I'm saying, mighty man of valor. Mighty woman of virtue. Mm-hmm. We can do this. The same God of past generations is still God today. We've been looking for you. But listen, there's very few Marines, not a lot of Marines. They call them the tip of the spear. When they sign their papers to get in, they say, listen, you know, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm willing to lay down my life for this cause. That's what they say. And what an awesome thing. That's why you admire Marines, what they're willing to do. The tip of the spear for our freedom.
Right.
And all of our military forces. But you know what? When you join the army of God, the spiritual army of God, not physical army. When you join this army of God, you got to sign the papers. I mean, if you've tried to join the army of God and you haven't signed these papers, you're whining a lot. Because you find out every day your life's being demanded from you. Your schedule's being demanded from you. What you want's being demanded from you. It's like a dead man, a dead woman doesn't even complain about it.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's going to cost me this. It's going to cost me that. It's like, you haven't enlisted yet. Oh, you didn't read the small print.
Right.
And it's miserable being tied between two opinions. You got to decide what you're going to do. Is it not important for us to be the Billy Grahams of our generation? Is it not important for us to be the Coach McCartneys of our generation? I mean, who's going to do it? Who is going to be the man? Who's going to be the woman? Listen, break all that stuff. Mindsets of saying that you got to be attached to what was. It's time to be attached to what is. God is doing a new thing. You will not be able to even imagine what God's about to do on the earth. He's about to do something so powerful. There's going to be a wave, a tidal wave of awesomeness. Yes, it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times, but it's going to be the best of times for the church. The church is going to rise to its occasion. Whether America stands or falls, the church is going to rise to its most awesome harvest it's ever seen. But the question is, are you going to join the ranks? Mm-hmm. Quit blaming everybody. It's your choice.
Right.
It sounded good when you blamed everybody for not enlisting in the army, but the truth is, it's your choice. Are you going to be the ones who write about what happened because you go with Jesus? Or are you going to be the ones that read about what happened because you got to wait for them to send you the book because you chose not to go with them?
Right.
Some people write about it, and most people read about it. We're looking for a few good, humble, willing Sauls.
Yeah.
That understands we need God. And read Judges chapter 7. You can see it was a journey mm-hmm. for Gideon.
Yeah.
But it started with, okay, I'll do it. What's so cool about this is we've been preparing for you for a long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've been digging trenches. We've been laying foundation. The apostolic foundation has been laid. And so we've put these things together for what took us a season of sowing and harvesting and learning and hearing and precept upon precept. I mean, I go back and I look in Vine Fellowship Network University. I go back to see some of these revelations that God has given us that's waiting for you to taste and see this good. And I'm amazed because it's been like one continual prophetic word utterance that just continued to come and come and come and come. It's not what religion has made it out to be. I stand amazed because you understand prophecy is the person who's prophesying. They're not that word. God is using them to speak that word out, and they can end up taking notes on themselves because you're thinking, oh my goodness, that didn't come from me. That can't. God's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something. And I look back and say, my goodness. But the question is, are you going to turn to politics? Are you going to turn to God? Are you going to turn to religion? Are you going to turn to a relationship? Are you going to join the army of God to say, you know what? I want to be that person this generation. This generation is worth giving my life for. God gave his life for me, his son's life for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give my life for him. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to love God because he says, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friend. Everybody wants to keep it. They say, really?
Mm-hmm.
Lay it down. Lay it down. If that's you, if that's you this morning, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org, and check out. It's happening. You can go to greglancasterministries.org, and you can see everything that's happening in the context of that. God's doing many things across the earth, and this is just one of the things that he's doing. But if I'm talking to you and you're listening to me, nothing happens by accident.
Mm-mm.
It's time to respond. We're looking for a few good men. Actually, a few humble men, because the only one is good is God. He just wants his goodness to come through you. Find out more at greglancasterministries.org. John, the VFN TV app.
What app?
The VFN TV app.
What's an app?
Everything has an app. VFN TV and VFN radio program, we have an app.
An app for that?
We have an app for that. I'm telling you, you know, I think about it that there's nothing like having, that's a free app too, by the way. It's a free app. As a matter of fact, you can find the app, John. You know we have an app.
Okay, we have an app.
Finally. It's an app. It's an app store right now. You go to VFNTV.com. If you have a Google phone, go to Google Play. If you have an iPhone, go to iTunes. Either way, type in VFNTV in your search area of your app store, and you can get the VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program app now for free. Enjoy. Bind Fellowship Network University. It's, I just can't, it is amazing. When you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening. And it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be. And it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be. But it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path depending on your time and also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city. But I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out. VFNU.org. VFNU.org.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and yes, we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that. That's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com, on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.